Okay. Perek Mem Dalid, Pasuk Aleph, page 246.
Okay.
Last week we learned. No, last week we didn't learn. We came back from New York.
Last time, two weeks ago,
we learned that the brothers finally bring Binyamin back. And Yosef invited them to eat with them. He finds out that Yaakov is still alive. And he sees Binyamin. And he gets all emotional because he asks Binyamin, as we learned from the Medrash, how many kids do you have? He said, I have 10 kids. And each one is named after Yosef's happenings. And Yosef runs out to cry. He comes back. They ate the meal. And then basically, Yosef was using his silver goblet to, so to speak, do magic, that he knew the age of everybody and the order of the children and everything. And the bottom line is, he got drunk with them. That was the bottom line. Okay. So in Perek Mem Dalid, the Pasuk says as follows. V'yitzav es asher al beisai. Yosef commanded the head of his household, and Rashi doesn't say it, but the Medrash says this refers to Menashe, who was Yosef's son, and he was in charge of everything that was going on. And obviously, like we learned before, Menashe was the most trusted person to know that Yosef was a Jew and what he needed, and that, you know, how to deal with the brothers and so on. So Yosef said to the one in charge of his house, which the Mefarshim said was Menashe, and he said to them the following: Malei esem techeisa anoshim eichel, fill up the sack of each person with food. Kasher yuchlum, says as much as they're able to carry. He says, and this was done, the Mefarshim say, openly. There's no secrets going on over. He said clearly in front of the brothers, fill them up with food as much as they're able to carry. V'sim kasev ish b'fi amtachtei, and put back the money. Okay, that to put back the money. And the Mefarshim say, not only was it the money that they brought to buy the food, but the money that they brought back, which was the money that they got back from the time before. That means all the money the brothers had. What?
Did he speak to him in Hebrew? But he had to hide.
To Menashe, he normally probably spoke in Hebrew. Now he had to speak in Egyptian, that the brothers should know that Menashe is, that he knew Hebrew, and the Menashe knew Hebrew, yeah.
About the same thing, there is a question. If Yosef brought the brothers to his own home, couldn't they see this a Jewish home?
You mean there were mezuzahs?
I don't know, maybe mezuzahs.
He took them down.
a picture of the Rebbe or whatever he had there. I mean,
picture of Yaakov.
Picture of Yaakov, yeah.
Yeah, the picture of Yaakov Avinu. Obviously,
Whatever. I mean,
why? Could an artist draw a picture?
Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody draw his picture.
Statue. With horns, they drew Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, that was later.
Obviously, he just camouflaged it in a way that.
Or maybe it was not his own home. Maybe it was his office or.
Well, it says the home, the Lasher al Beis. I mean, I don't know. It seems that he did bring him to his house. No, it says, bring a base of Yosef, the house of Yosef. Obviously, first of all, I mean, did they have mezuzahs on the doors? It's questionable if they kept Torah at that time. Did Yosef have mezuzahs on his door? I don't know. I mean, did he have a separate kitchen for meat and milk? I don't know. I mean, first of all, what did they have already in those days? But obviously, he definitely camouflaged it in a way that they shouldn't know what it was.
Rabbi Shusterman, those pictures that are like, there is a Moshe and Aaron or whatever. I mean, so you think those real.
What do you think they're true?
Yeah. I mean, they're a real picture.
No, they're not. Trust me, they're not.
It's a real picture, but it's not a picture of Moshe and Aaron.
Right. It's a picture, right, but not of them. It could have been of a guy called Moshe and a guy called Aaron, but not Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, v'sim kesef ish b'fi amtachtei, and you should put everybody's money, that Barbanel says, all the money that they brought, even from the first thing, he should give it back. Now, the Mefarshim explain, like the Ramban writes, this was done openly in front of the brothers. And the Ramban explains that this was done, that the brothers should feel good for Yosef's harsh treatment of them. First he gave him very harsh treatment, so he wanted to make up with them. So the Ramban says this was clearly done, everything except the goblet, the becher that they put. But everything else was done clearly in front of the brothers. Okay? And the Alshech explains also that what the Yosef wanted to do by loading them up with food, more than they're even paying for it, even though they didn't pay for it, was to show that there was Yosef was repaying, good, even though it was for evil, so to speak. Okay, and then he said to him, "Ves gvi gvi akesef," and my goblet, my silver goblet. And Farshim asked an interesting question: if Yosef was so rich, why didn't he have a golden goblet? Why did he have a silver goblet? Gold was more expensive than silver. And the answer, interesting, that in Egypt in those days, silver was more scarce than gold, so silver was more expensive. And that's why Yosef had, this is what the Mefarshim say. I mean, they ask a very simple question. If he was a king, he could have had a golden goblet.
That means silver?
Golden cup?
No, there isn't. I mean, Apichsidis in Kabbalah, it says dafka to have certain things, dafka silver, not gold. There's an advantage of silver over gold. In fact, I mean, it's sidetracking a little bit, but it's a very interesting thing. The Rebbe has an asicha in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, in Parshas Truma, when it says all the gifts that the Jews had to bring for the building and construction of the Mishkan, the Pasuk mentions 13 or 15 things, depending how you learn it. But the three primary things that they brought in the Beis Hamikdash was gold, silver, and copper. Zav, Chesed, and Cheshes. Now, in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, there's an argument in the Gemara, what's better, silver or gold? Now, what's the argument? Some opinions say silver is better because it's more usable. Currency, they didn't use currency of gold, they used currency of silver. Gold was too expensive. Another opinion in the Gemara says gold is more expensive than silver. So the Rebbe asks, but copper is for sure cheaper than silver or gold. So why did Hashem want in the Mishkan they should bring copper? Kesef and Zav, I understand there's an argument which one's better, so you do it. But copper, why is copper so good? Copper is not so good. So the Rebbe explains an interesting thing, which explains a similar argument in the Gemara, what is better, a tzaddik or a bal tshuva? In the Gemara Brachos, there's two opinions. One opinion says a tzaddik is better than a bal tshuva. Another opinion says a bal tshuva is greater than a tzaddik. The Rambam paskins, and this is the halacha, that a bal tshuva is greater than a tzaddik. But in the Gemara, there's two opinions. So the Rebbe explains, what's the difference between silver and gold, according to Hasidus, so to speak. Silver, kesef, comes from the word nichsef, nichsafti, a longing, a desire. Kesef refers, and kesef is silver, but it's whitish. That refers to a tzaddik. He has a longing to Hashem. He's not far from Hashem. He's close to Hashem. And he's white, meaning he's pure. A bal tshuva is the level of gold. Why? Because gold is red, which symbolizes sin. Red symbolizes the concept of sin. That's why in the Beis Hamikdash, the red thread on Yom Kippur turned white to show that the Jewish people were forgiven. So Zahav is reddish, but it's a very expensive type of red, which symbolizes the level of a bal tshuva. So therefore, there's an advantage in a tzaddik over a bal tshuva, and there's an advantage in a bal tshuva over a tzaddik. So therefore, Hashem said in the Mishkan, I want Zahav and I want Kesef, because I want the level of a tzaddik and I want the level of a bal tshuva. Nechayshis, copper, symbolizes complete level of sin. Copper is also reddish, but it's not expensive like gold. Copper, nechayshis, the root of the word nechayshis is nachash, which symbolizes the original sin of Chet Eitz Hadas.
Copper is red and gold is yellow.
Gold is not yellow. Yeah. You can have yellow gold, yellow. But gold has a reddish tint to it.
Yes.
Gold has a reddish tint to it.
Rose gold. The highest level of gold has a reddish tint.
Okay. I know the women are the experts in the gold, but let's get back. Huh? And diamonds, yeah. Now, Nechayshis symbolizes the level of redness, but not an expensive level, but a level of nachosh, which sins. So Hashem basically in the Beis HaMikdash is saying that in the building of the Mishkan, I want every level of a Jew. I want the Tzaddik Jew, I want the Baal Tshuva Jew, and I even want the sinning Jew. I also want them to be part of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's parenthetical. The Rebbe explains also that that's dependent on the three opinions when Hashem told Moshe to build the Mishkan. Was it before the Egel, was it during the Egel, or was it after the Egel? Before the golden calf, after the golden calf, during the golden calf. So if it was before the golden calf, there were a level of tzaddikim. After the golden calf, there were a level of bali tshuva. And during the golden calf, there were a level of neshoyim. Okay, so whatever it is, coming back here, so the many times it's brought down in Sfarim, dafka to have silver, not gold. Because of the level of, like by Kiddush, many people are careful, dafka silver and not gold bechers. Dafka silver bechers.
Silver is like peace and gold is like a...
Well, one tzaddik, one baal tshuva, one has this, so there's different levels. But over here, coming back to this point, the Mefarshim explained that even though Yosef was the king of Egypt and he could have afforded a golden goblet, in Egypt, silver was more scarce than gold, so silver was more expensive than gold. Now, Vezgeviah, and he says to as follows, in Pasuk Beis, Vezgeviah, Geviah, Kesef, and my silver becher, my silver goblet, Tosim Befiam Tachas HaKotin, you should put into the sack of the youngest one, meaning Binyamin, V'yes, Kesef Shivrei, along with the money of his purchase. Meaning, he told them to put it, when he puts in the money, what's he saying over here? When you put in the money to Binyamin, slip in the silver goblet together with the money. That it shouldn't be so noticeable. Because otherwise, the Pasuk already said return the money to them. Why is the Torah again saying by Binyamin, return the money to Binyamin? Because Yosef is telling them, put the goblet in while you're putting in the money, so nobody should notice what you're doing. And the person over here, like we said, Menashe, did exactly what Yosef spoke. Okay? So basically, at night, they put in the becher into Binyanim, and the Mefarshim say, they sealed the bags. They sealed the bags. And because the brothers saw the way they're putting the money back in, there was nothing to hide, so the brothers, it never entered the brothers' mind to open up the sacks, to see what's in it, because they saw exactly what's in it. The money and the food and everything else. Now, Pasuk says, as soon as day came, which over here the Gemara learns out an interesting halacha, that a person should not travel at night. Because Yosef kept the brothers overnight. So from here the Gemara learns out a halacha, that when you travel, especially in the olden times when you had to travel through forests and dangerous places, nowadays obviously it doesn't apply because nighttime is safe also to drive, whatever. Even nighttime you have to stop every hour to take a break. The Rebbe once said, you should just refresh oneself. But anyway, that's the halachic meaning over here, that when dawn came, because before dawn Yosef didn't want the brothers to go traveling. Other things, the Chizkuni says, that why did Yosef tell them to wait? He didn't want to send them at night, because if Yosef would have to send the guard to chase the brothers, you know, to catch him while he stole the goblet, at night they would kill him. Because who sees anything at night? So Yosef wanted to wait the brothers should go during the morning, then they would be afraid to kill the one that he's sending to chase them, and then he'd be able to know what it was. So Barka aired as soon as it came day. Okay, Va'anashim Shulcha, the men were sent. What does it mean the men were sent? Doesn't say the men left. The men were sent meaning Yosef escorted the people honorably. Not necessarily Yosef himself did it, but he had people escorting them. Therefore it says the men were sent. Heime v'chamereim, this and their donkeys. Okay, now, why does it say them and their donkeys?
Yeah.
They went, whatever they had. I mean, it was understood. So they bring down that Yosef wanted to show the brothers, you have nothing to fear that I'm going to come along that you stole my donkeys, or you stole things. He escorted them as if to show, you know, I'm letting you go with your donkeys and this. Other Mefarshim learn that in order to leave Egypt with your animals, you needed special permission from the government. So Yosef said to them, "Hey, mevachamerim, you can take your donkeys with you." So the pasuk says they left the city not too far away, meaning as follows: Yosef didn't want the brothers to go too far, because then they would just keep going and not come back to Egypt, which he wanted. So Yosef let him go a little bit out. How much it was? The Medrash says less than a mil. Mm-hmm. A mil is 2,000 amis, which is about 3,000 feet. So when they're like a little bit over half a mile from the city, and it says, why didn't Yosef let him go too far? Rabbeinu Bechai says, because then the brothers have to schlep all the way back. And Yosef had pity on them. He didn't want them to schlep so much. So as soon as they're like a little bit outside the city, he already got going. Okay, what did he say? Ba'amal Asher al Beisa, Yosef said to the one in charge of his house, meaning again Menashe, "Kum, get up, Radef Achre Anoshim, run after the people, while the city, fear of the city is still upon them." That means they're not too far that they shouldn't be afraid of the city anymore and just fight and kill and continue on. Visaktim, you should reach them. Vamarta aleim, and you should take to them. You should tell them the following. But it says interesting thing. Vamarta aleim, that Barbanel says, why does the Torah say Vamarta aleim? It means speak only to them. Don't make a whole scene. You know, he says speak only to them quietly that they should... I don't want to embarrass them in front of everybody. And you should say to them the following: Lama shilamtim ra tachas teva. Why did you repay evil for good? In other words, I did so good to you, I was so nice to you, I gave you everything, and this is the way you repay me. Now, the Mefarshim say here an interesting point. Yosef didn't attack them right away. Why did you steal? Okay? He says, ingratitude is sometimes worse than the crime itself. It's an interesting concept. The Mefarshim explain, not being thankful is a worse sin than stealing. Because Yosef didn't right away come to the brothers and say, "Hey, why did you steal?" Yosef said to them, why do you repay good with evil? I treated you so nice, and then you go steal from me my goblet. That's one thing. Another thing, he said he wanted to break the defense. You know, once you accuse somebody of a minor crime, they already become defensive. So they're already losing it. So Yosef came on, and it's interesting. In Torah, there's a concept called not to be a kfui teva, not to have gratitude. The whole mitzvah of bikurim that the Torah says in Parshas Kisavai, that when you have a field and you get the first fruits, you have to bring them to the Beis Hamikdash, bikurim. So the whole purpose of bikurim is to thank God for what He gave you. You know, don't be a chazir. God gives everything, you don't repay Him. So the Torah goes in such a way that not being appreciative of what somebody does for you is worse than the actual crime of stealing. And therefore, the first thing he said to them, why are you paying back bad for good? And he says as follows: my master, so the Mephoshim, what did he say? My master gave you food. He gave you food for free. He gave you a meal. He gave you everything good, and that's the way you pay back by stealing. How do you do such a thing? And he said to him even more, what my master drinks from, meaning only royalty was allowed to drink from this cup. It was a royal cup. It's like dinner even by a Jewish king. You're not allowed to sit in his chair, you're not allowed to ride in his horse, you're not allowed to use his utensils. When a king dies, you know, they have to destroy his horse, they have to destroy his chariot, they have to destroy everything. Why? Because nobody was allowed to use royal things. Things of royalty. So he says, something that my master drinks from. And the Ramban explains that he's building up the crime against the brothers. He wants to say how... It wasn't stam that they stole a cup. He wants to say how bad it was. And he says, which my master drinks from, and therefore nobody else was allowed to drink from it. And he also, this was his divine cup that he did black magic with. Meaning, as far as the brothers were concerned, all the knowledge that Yosef had, who was older, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and that whole thing, Yosef knew from the cup. So he said, starting to tell them how bad it was what they stole. Number one, you don't repay goodness with evil. And what did you take already? Something that only royalty could drink from. Something that my master, it's a divine holy cup. And how can you do it? And therefore, he says to them, do you think that by stealing it, he's going to take this lightly? He's not going to take this lightly. Not at all. So therefore, and before we even go further, the Mefarshim explain, Yosef did all this to prove a point. Why is Yosef doing this? Okay? So the Arachaim says there's three reasons why Yosef is doing the final test to the brothers. Number one, by Yosef accusing the brothers now of stealing, and the brothers admitting that they stole the cup, that would atone for the fact that they kidnapped Yosef and sold him as a slave. That's number one. Number two, to prove their love for Binyamin. The bottom line is the cup was in Binyamin's bag. How much would the brothers stick up for Binyamin? Because if they hated him like they hated Yosef, to begin with, they wouldn't stick up for him. So Yosef wanted to see how much Mesiras Nefesh they would have for Binyamin. And he thinks that by Yosef understanding everything that they did, they would begin to see how much Yosef Taka knew about the brothers. So this was the final test that Yosef is giving the brothers to know exactly what's going on. Okay. You behaved badly in what you have done. Because what you did was terrible. By taking the cup, he said, the Arachaim says, by taking the cup, Yosef said to them, you undid all the honesty that you said you had by bringing back the money that you found in your bags. By stealing the cup now, you undid that whole aspect of honesty. Now you're not even honest.
I have a question.
Yep.
We know that there is no notion properly of revenge in Judaism. There is what you explained last time, midah kenegad midah, yeah?
Correct.
But here I don't see anything else than a form of revenge. I don't see. Maybe you can help me see something.
Maybe you need glasses.
I have glasses.
Okay. Let's again with the premise and without the premise it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. Is Yosef a tzaddik?
Yes.
Okay. Tzaddikim don't take revenge.
Okay.
That's it.
Premise.
I'm saying if you have a premise that Yosef is a tzaddik, tzaddikim do not take personal revenge.
One second. It's me, not Yosef. I'm doing all this to bring back some certain justice that was done to me with some people. And if I did,
so you have to know, by a regular person.
Yeah.
And we always try to justify everything we do. Mm-hmm. But a real religious person, that means to do what Torah wants us to do, will ask a shaila to an impartial rav and say, this is what happened, this is what I want to do. Is it right of doing it or not?
Okay.
If the Rav says no, then you don't do it. If the Rav says yes, then you do it. Now a person could always justify, I never mean revenge, I just mean to teach him a lesson, I just want to prove a point, I don't mean revenge. That's all good for somebody else to tell you. A person themselves cannot make that judgment.
Mm-hmm. So you need an impartial person that
who knows halacha.
Yeah.
Who knows halacha. Now, Yosef over here, there was no other Rav in Egypt to ask. He can't make a phone call to the Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yaakov Avinu, and say, hi, you know, I'm your son Yosef, I have a child in Halacha, can I torture your kids? Obviously he couldn't ask that child. So Yosef, understanding that he was a tzaddik, and Hashem is making the situation happening as the chips fell the way they fell.
Exactly.
So Yosef understood and knew that this is completely Shem Shemayim. And the proof of it is, look at the way Yosef really took care of the brothers at the end. Number one, if you look along the whole time, he gave back the money. He should have killed them all. He could have killed them all. He had the opportunity to do it. He didn't kill anyone. He didn't even keep all the brothers. He kept only Shimon. He supported them. He gave back the money. He gave back extra money. He supported them when he finally came down for the rest of their lives. So you see that he was really a tzaddik. But Yosef, and we'll soon learn, when the brothers came back to Egypt and all bowed to him, the dream finally became fulfilled. That's when the dream became fulfilled, that all the brothers bowed to him. Okay, so everything was a process that had to take place, and that's it.
Rabbi.
Yaakov.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yaakov bowed to Yosef too?
Eventually, yeah.
Let me take you back, please. I might have missed the day you learned it and told everybody. Where did the brothers build up this hatred for Yosef? Was it...
In Parshas Vayeshev.
Growing up, was Yaakov really favoring Yosef?
Yes, he was.
So it was mostly based on sort of jealousy?
The jealousy.
And they couldn't wait to get rid of him, so they sold him into slavery. Is
right.
That it?
Yep. Okay.
Dovi told me
what?
Eventually he told him. Yosef told the brother, why did he do that, right?
Sure he did.
Explain.
Of course, they always talk to each other. Now, over here, the Yosef Asher Asisem, which is the end of Pasuk Hey. Over here it means as follows. By taking the cup, you ruined the honest reputation, like we said. According to Bar Benel, you did a very bad sin by stealing. Why? Number one, there's a halacha. When a guy transgresses any one of his seven mitzvahs, he gets killed. Now, Yosef said to them, if you stole... You did very bad because you're going to get killed for what you just did. According to the laws of seven Noahite laws, you get killed for what you did. Number one, he said to them, you're very foolish for what you did. First of all, you stole something that's constant use and they're going to recognize it right away. If you want to steal something they only use on Pesach. You know, by the time Pesach comes around, they'll forget that they lost it. Now, secondly, it belongs to a royal officer who has unlimited power of punishing you. And thirdly, you took the wrong thing. You took a thing that he uses to do black magic with. So he said, you guys are very stupid. And it's bad what you did because he's going to kill you. And he said to him, okay, why is my master speaking such words? Chalila lavadecha. It would be sacrilegious, meaning it would be below our dignity to do this thing. And once, okay. So V'emrei love. So the people said, the brothers said back to him, why are you speaking such words? You yourself said before that we're honest people. All of a sudden you're changing your mind that we became crooks. What's going on? And they said, Chalila lavadecha, it's below our dignity, meaning it's like chulin, it's weak, it's below, or God forbid, it's different ways of losing. Some ways of learning God, like you say chas v'chalila, and other people say, it's in the word chol, like sacrilegious. And he said, the Barmanel says, the brother said to him, didn't we show you that we don't care about money? We brought back the money, we're honest with the money. So why in the world do you think that we stole? And they said, and this is the concept of Kal V'Chomer, that this is one of the 10 Kal V'Chomers that's mentioned in Tanakh. In English, a Kal V'Chomer is called a fortiori argument.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's in
Say
English.
It again, please. What kind of argument?
Fortiori.
Fortiori. That is
a Kal V'Chomer. He says what it is. Hein kesef asher matzana b'fi abdur tzecheinu. The money that we found in our sacks, we brought back. So how in the world are we going to be able to steal? What if we brought back the money? So for sure we're not going to go steal. But this is interesting. It's called Kal V'Chomer. It's the deduction from a minor to a major. Meaning, if they prove their honesty by something less important, how much more so? the Mefarshim explained that this is not a really very good Kal V'Chomer. No, because they could refuted it. You know why you brought back your money? Because you're holding your brother as a hostage. You had a choice. You want to say the one that's so honest that they brought back the money, so how are we going to steal? What do you mean you brought back the money? Because you're going to be refuted. Okay, but basically what they did say, though, what the brothers did say, though, number one, how could we steal? They were not familiar with the art of divinity. They didn't believe in all this black magic and stuff. So therefore, to us, it was worthless. Yeah. And also, they were saying...
Jimmy.
Shh. So they claimed there's nothing more than a piece of silver. Okay? Now, the Mefarshim explained, like the Aruch Chaim explains, you could have refuted this a different way also. Sometimes, people steal smaller amounts, and people are honest with smaller amounts, they eventually, to get trust, that you'll be able to take bigger amounts. There's a very famous story. A poor man once came to a rich man and said, I'm having company, can I borrow a setting of cutlery?
What is it?
Give me a set, meaning a fork, a knife, and a spoon.
Cutlery.
So, the rich man said, okay, he gave it to him. The next day, the poor man brought back two of each. So the rich man said to him, I only gave you one setting, why are you bringing me back two settings? He says, I'll tell you the truth, it gave birth overnight to a second setting, and I brought back the baby. So the rich man thought the guy's nuts. He said, but what do I care? The vial, I'm getting double. So the next day, the poor man comes and says, can you have two settings? Can I borrow two settings? To make the long story short, the next day he gives him back four settings. Because again, he says, what? They gave birth. So, okay. Finally got to a point, the guy says to me, can you lend me your whole set? It's like your 50 set, settings. Give me the whole set. So the rich man thought, this is great. Tomorrow I'm going to make a double set. Yeah, 100. The pearl the next day, the poor man didn't come back. And after a few days, he didn't come back. So the rich man went to the poor man and said, hey, what happened to my cutlery set?
Died.
He said, I have very bad news for you. They were all in labor, and they all died. So sometimes you get the trust of little things to be able to steal big things. So the steward could have said, Menashe, the guy in charge of Yosef's house, could have said to them, listen, your kavachem is not a good kavachem. You know why you're honest about a little money? That you should gain our trust, that then you should be able to steal a lot of money. So therefore, your honesty is still shaky. So the brother said...
So if that's the case, you should never trust anybody for anything. Basically.
No. Maybe that's why you...
The only reason you should trust somebody is because God trusts us. God gives us a very valuable possession called a neshama, and he lends it to us for 120 years, and Hashem expects it back, and Hashem trusts us or Hashem gives us children, let's say, he trusts us with the children, that we should raise them like people.
Can I give...
No.
Let me give Jimmy a pass.
I'm older.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're not older than I am.
Yes.
I'm ancient.
So they wish to... Hello, we have to trust to be trusted. And you know, there's a very interesting concept. When you trust people, a lot of people don't realize this, but when you trust people, I'll give you an example. When your housekeeper knows that you trust them, they will not steal. Mm-hmm. If they realize that you trust them, they will not steal. And I'll give you another gashmistic example that Californians would understand. Do you know that in Disneyland, when you go into a ride, people leave their carriages outside with things in it, and nobody steals? Why? Because the fact that everybody leaves it like that and everybody is trusting, that itself causes a person not to steal. When you trust somebody, they will become trusted. If you trust your housekeeper, you should know they won't steal. It's when you start thinking like this, you know, and they get the feeling, that's when they won't be honest. And therefore, person, not to be too trusting. I mean, you don't go with strangers. You know, you teach your kids don't go with strangers to be trusting. But you have to understand, you know, when yeah, when no. But what?
There's also an assumption that you know you're not leaving anything valuable.
Yeah, but I'm saying nobody goes b'chol.
I was in jail. I was with Ganovan, and I said the best is to trust him.
Sure.
Because anyway,
you were in jail.
They did not.
Yes. You were in jail.
Yes.
Reveyes me.
So it's out to
another class.
Okay, that's not for now. The Yemet. Oh, I'm sorry. They said. So if we didn't steal, how? I mean, if we brought back money, how do you expect us to steal? And they cursed. And they said, "Ashe yimatzei ite me'avadecha v'meis." The brothers gave a curse down. This is an all interesting discussion here. The brothers said to Menashe, whoever you will find that stole it will die. And we will all become your slaves. The brothers were so certain that it was a mistake.
Yeah.
The brothers were so certain that it was a mistake that the brothers were willing to say, and they knew they were tzaddikim, and they said, whoever you will find it with will die. And we will be servants. So the Mefarshim ask an interesting question. Then Binyamin should have died. What happened earlier in Chumash when Rachel stole Lavan's gods and Lavan was looking for them and Yaakov's cursed and he said the one that took him will die and Mashi says Ma'ase klola mesa Rachel. From that curse Rachel died. So Mefarshim ask if the brothers at Tzaddikim and they cursed Binyamin, so Binyamin should have died. So they answer it very simple.
Rachel
stole it and Binyamin didn't take it. But Lecheda, that's not what they said though. They didn't say the one that took it. The brothers said, whoever you find it by will die. They didn't say whoever took it. The brothers didn't say the one that stole it will die. The brothers said, oh, whoever will. So, in fact, they said it, no, but the Mefarshim say even better. They said the Lashon, Asher Yimatze Itay. Itay in Hebrew means on his body. Itay means with him. The brothers didn't say if it was in the baskets. The brothers said, Asher Yimatze Itay. If you found it with him, meaning if you found it in his pocket, then he'll die. And that the brothers knew for sure nobody did it. The brothers couldn't be certain that somebody, just like the money was put back in, maybe the goblet was put in. But the brothers were very careful what they say, so they never actually cursed Binyamin. And the second answer is, the fact was, Binyamin Taka didn't do anything wrong, it was only passive. Rachel actively did something, so therefore the curse had its effect. Binyamin, even though they found it by Binyamin, but the fact is that he was innocent, so the curse didn't have what to hold on to.
So Rachel died because of this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's for sure.
Rashi says, from that klala, Rachel died. There are other reasons that the Mefarshim say Rachel died.
Yeah, I thought.
But Rashi says, because Yaakov cursed her, and therefore she died.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi, are you going to let Jimmy walk out with that statement, don't trust anybody?
Yeah. Vayayim,
no, you can't teach that,
it's
Rabbi.
It's good. Vayayim, and he said, Gamata kedevreichem kenhu.
You already know it.
So the head of the household answered the following. What you guys said is true. And we'll soon see, we have to finish the pasuk because this is a wrong statement, L'cheda. She'imatze ita yili yavid. Whoever it's found will be my servant. V'atam tiyu nekim, and you'll be free. So the question is, something doesn't make sense here.
Yeah.
The brother said that whoever finds it, that will die and we'll all be slaves. He says, yeah, like you said, that guy that found it by him will be a slave and everybody will be free. So that's not what he said. Why does he say, that's the way it should be? So the Mefarshim explain, it means as follows. The whole group is liable for the act of one of its members. That's what the guy said to him. But Gam Ata, now that you found it as a group, that's really, you should be that way. That you all should die, or you all be slaves. But I'm going to be nicer than you. In other words, he says, Kedivrechem Kena, that's the way it should be, that the guy who found it should be killed, and the rest should be slaves. That's the way it should be. But I'm changing it. Mm. Well, that one should be a slave, and everybody else should be freed. Okay, it says, okay. Ashimata Ite, the one that finds he's speaking, by the way, Yeli Oved, he means Yosef, but it's not Yosef, he's speaking for Yosef. Okay? The judgment will be clear cut. We're not even going to discuss how the crime was committed or how it came in. Bottom line is, whoever has it is going to be punished. Ramban says, I'm going to keep you in prison until your innocence is proven. Here, the Ramban says it's guilty until proven innocent. Normally in Torah, it's innocent until proven guilty, in normal law. Okay. So he says, the one that find it, okay. Vayimaru, they hurried up. Vayiridu isha samtach the arts, each one opened up their back to the ground. Vayivtachu isha samtachtai, each man opened up their own bag. In other words, they were so anxious to prove their innocence, they did it themselves, they opened up their own sacks to show how innocent they were. But what happened? Vayichapes, he seeked. Bagodol Heichel, by the oldest one first. Now, they didn't want to go straight to Binyamin, because that would show that they knew where it was. So they went again, looking from the oldest to the youngest. They went to the beginning of the oldest verse, Havakot in Kilo, and they ended up by the youngest, meaning by Binyamin, that nobody should suspect them. The Gavia was found in Binyamin's bag. So the Medrash over here says the following scenario took place. It says, when the brothers saw that Binyamin stole it, they charged him, they pounced on top of him, and they said, thief, you're a son of a thieving woman, just as your mother disgraced by stealing the trophim. Your mother stole, you stole. Binyamin said to them, you guys are Ganovim because you sold Yosef. They were screaming at each other, who are Ganovim? And that he says, maybe they stole the goblet. What did Binyamin tell them? You guys probably stole it and dumped it into my bag that I should be blamed, but you guys are Ganovim because you stole Yosef. Another view says they kept beating him. The imam just beat, because you know what this meant? For Yehuda was responsible to bring him back. Yes. So the brothers beat up Binyamin until Binyamin swore by Yaakov's life that he's innocent. So when the brothers saw that he swore by Yaakov's life, so they let him go. Now, because of this, it's interesting. Because of this, the Medrash says that Binyamin merited to be the home for the Beis HaMikdash. And Yosef declared, Rabbi Yosef declared, may my share, not Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara said, may my share be with whom they suspect of something of which they're innocent. Meaning, if somebody is suspected of something wrongdoing, and they end up to be innocent, they get a lot of reward. Binyamin was rewarded from the fact that they suspected him of stealing it. And he didn't. And now that they beat him up for it, so he was rewarded that the Beis HaMikdash ended up in his part. Another interesting lesson that you learn from these psukim. When there's a community that does something wrong, here's a group of 10 people, 11 people, community, right? The whole basic Jewish community of the world at that time was with these 11 brothers. I mean, there was one guy at home, and this is the whole Jewish community. When there's something wrong with the community, and that people have to look into themselves to find the wrongdoings, you have to start with the greatest people first. They started with the greatest. with a cotton kila, and they ended up with the youngest. But the lesson is, when there's a crime and you have to investigate whose fault it is, so to speak, then you start with the heads of the community.
The president.
In fact, there's a pasuk later on in Vayikra, Vasimim Birashechem, simply it says, I will appoint the heads I will appoint the heads over you. So the Medrash says, Vasimim is the same word as Asham. Vashamechem, meaning your sins, God says, I will blame the heads of the community. Because they are the ones that are supposed to be setting the example, they're supposed to be the ones teaching, they're supposed to be the ones guiding. So the pasuk says, Vayichapes, if you want to look for something wrong in the community, you have to look by Gadol Hechi, you have to start looking by the greatest, and then end up by the youngest. For Yikrusim Laisam, they all tore their garments. Why did they tear their garments now? Because they foresaw already the way Yaakov is going to die from this. This is what they foresaw. If they come home without Binyamin, it's finished. So therefore,
Maybe this man was.
No.
No, why? Did he appear from them?
The Hashem don't want.
But they have Ruach HaKodesh, really.
Not, they don't have Ruach HaKodesh when things pertain to them.
Only for others.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That just that Yaakov Avinu didn't have Ruach HaKodesh that Yosef was alive?
Well, there is like a point where they say that he knew that he really wanted to take off his. Like the morning, like Beit HaMikdash will be reconstructed one day. He knew somewhere that he may be still alive. Not for sure, but he knew it maybe.
Yeah, but still. Another thing it says over here, that why did the brothers tear their clothing? Because all the brothers except Binyamin, forced Yaakov to tear his clothing when they came back with the report that Yosef was dead. When the wild beast ate up Yosef. So it says over there that Yaakov tore his clothing. They caused Yaakov to tear their clothing. So the punishment for that, Hashem made them tear their clothing. So the question is, why did Binyamin have to tear the clothing? He wasn't there when Yosef was sold. So the answer is, he felt that because of him, the brothers got guilty and tore their clothing, so he's part of it too. And that's why it's an interesting story. The Medrash says that in the story of Megillas Esther, Mordechai, who is a descendant of Binyamin, tore his clothing when the decree came. It's all connected, one thing to the next. They tore their garments. One more thing the Mefarshim explained. Why doesn't the Torah say it was Menashe as the steward? The guy in charge of the house. Why doesn't the Torah say who it was? Because they didn't want the brothers to hate him later for all the hard time they gave him, that he gave them. This guy, Menashe, made their life miserable for a while. So the Torah doesn't want to tell us who it was, that the brothers shouldn't hate him later for causing all this problem. They should have said, hey, you're our nephew, you should have been loyal to us. You know, you should have done things for us.
The brothers said,
yeah, but he wasn't in charge.
This guy causing all these things.
Yeah.
It's not said here, but they knew.
They knew it was Yosef, Menashe, whatever. But Yamis Isha Chamere, each man reloaded his donkey, even though normally it says it takes two people to reload a donkey. They were so strong, they did it themselves. But Yeshuva Iran, they came back, but to the city. Okay. Now, L'cha'era, why does Rashi says why do they call it city? It was the country of Egypt. It wasn't the city, because the brothers were ready to fight a war, and in their eyes, it was like a city. They're ready to fight, mamish to kill, and in their eyes, they were so strong, it felt like a city. Okay, so Vayava Yehuda Ve'echav Beis Yosef, Yehuda and his brothers came back to the house of Yosef. Why does it say Yehuda? Because he was the one responsible the most for Binyamin. And Yosef, an interesting thing. Where did they go back to? Beis Yosef, Yosef's house. Not in the public city, in front of everybody, into the privacy of Yosef's home. Because again, Yosef didn't want to embarrass the brothers. And it shows again that this is not revenge, because then Yosef would have done it publicly to embarrass the brothers. He waited for them in his house. He didn't even leave the house. He wanted them to come back to his house, and he waited for them. It should be private. Why only Yehuda? Because like we said, he was responsible for Binyamin. V'adan Hashem, Yosef was still there, waiting for them. He didn't leave his house to do any communal, government things. And then it says, Vayiplu lefan of arts, they fell down to the ground. And the Medrash Tanchuma says, like we said before, this is the first time that Yosef actually, the brothers fell on their face to him. Vayemelam Yosef, so Yosef said to them, Ma'amaita azashar asisam, what is this that you did? It's wicked and foolish. In other words, he said, what is this action? Both it's wicked and foolish. Hala yadaitim, do you not know? Kinachish yinachish isha shekameini. Do you not know that a man like me practices this divinity, this black magic and stuff? Don't you know that you're starting up with the wrong thing? Okay? I know how to divine things, and therefore, what was the reason why you stole it? The Mefarshim say an interesting difference. Menashe, when he came to the brothers, the first thing Menashe said to the brothers, is this the way you repay kindness with evil? Yeah. And then he said, you stole the cup. Yosef didn't even talk about their lack of gratitude. Yosef went straight to the cup, to the stealing. So they say, why? Because it would have been below Yosef's dignity to say, oh, I was a nice guy and this is the way you pay me back. Menashe was saying it for somebody else. But for Yosef to say, I'm a nice guy, this is the way you treat me, that's below his dignity. So he went straight to the point, why did you steal? Vayayme Yehuda, so Yehuda said, and here the brothers of Mamash had a loss. They said, Manayme Ladeini, Manadaba, Manadstadok. What could we say? How could we speak? And how could we justify ourselves? Meaning, we don't know what's going on here. We know we didn't do it. And he says, Alekim Matzah Asavein Avadecha, God found the sin of your servants. He says, Inenu Avadim Ladeini, we will be slaves to my master. Gamenachnu us, Gamashinimtsa Gavia Biyadi, the one that had this cup in his hand. Okay? The Mefarshim explain over here what's going on with all these expressions. Manemar, Manadaba, Manistadok. Yudah said to Yosef, look what's going on over here. Binyamin was brought down to prove that we were honest. What did Yosef tell them? How will I know if you're honest? If you bring your younger brother here. Binyamin was brought to bring out the honesty, and he's the ganef. And he ends up to be the thief. So he says that this is, something beyond any understanding. Okay, but Yemen Yosef said, "Chalila li me'asei zeis, God forbid I should do such a thing, that you keep you all as slaves." Ha'ish ha'shenimtsa gavia biyadei, the man who has the goblet in his hand, who yieli ovid, he will become my slave. Va'atam alul l'shalom alavichem, and you should go up to your father. What does this mean? He says, "I don't want to punish you for your previous sins, because you didn't sin before, I have nothing to do. Only the man," and here he's calling him, it's interesting, the whole time they call him a katan. The whole time they call him a katan. Here he's calling him a ish. It's like the juvenile being tried as an adult. Until now everybody's calling him a katan. All of a sudden Yosef says, not a katan ashenimta gavia, a ish ashenimta gavia. He's a man, and he's fully responsible. He's not the little innocent kid you called him. Yeah. Like we said, he was 37 years old at this time. Who yelled of it? He will become my slave. The question is, how in the world do you take a ganef in as a slave? Farshim asks a simple thing. If Binyamin is guilty of being a slave, why is Yosef saying he'll be my slave? You want a ganef as a slave in your house? He's going to steal everything. So it says that Yosef's judgment intimated that the brothers knew that Binyamin was innocent. And still there was nothing they could do about it. That was even the worst part of the issue over here. The fact that Yosef says Binyamin is going to be my Eved, they knew that Binyamin was innocent. And Yosef knows Binyamin is innocent. And yet this is coming straight from God. And that made it even worse. And he says, it's whatever it is that Judas is going to start arguing. Now, one more question, and before we finish, because we finished the parsha now, to make a party. But the last thing is, what would Yosef do? Okay, Yehuda now started next week's parsha. Yehuda started fighting. What would be if the brother said, "Okay, leave Binyamin here, and we'll go home"? The Medrash says Yosef would have had to reveal himself to the brothers then, because Yosef knew Yaakov would die if Binyamin doesn't come home, and that he couldn't do. So if the brothers accepted his deal, Yosef would have to tell the brothers, "I'm Yosef."
Yeah.
Because he couldn't let him go home. Lepel, but what would be, the Medrash says, then Yosef would have only invited Yaakov and Binyamin to come down to Egypt, not the brothers. If the brothers didn't fight for Binyamin,
That means they don't care about Binyamin.
So the Medrash says Yosef would have invited Yaakov and Binyamin to come to Egypt and nobody else. But now that the brothers fought for Binyamin, Yosef saw that the brothers really did tshuva. So now he invited everybody to come home. Yeah.